schedule. Go ahead and get started, as my brown baby is not distinguishing between church and pawpaw. I thought, who's going to go to church? This is okay. We'll pray and then we'll jump into the lesson on tonight's training. So we're going to be coming from 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's pray. Father God, we glorify you on today, and we just praise you for being the Most High God in our lives. We appreciate all that you do, and we just glorify you for all that you are and what you have created us to be, and even loving us enough to use us for your glory. And we thank you for giving us all paths to walk down, and we know that that your love is always shed abroad to each one of us, and we praise you in the name of Yahushua. Amen. I had to just kind of share some things with you. There are some things that I want to share with you, and it is the reason why we're getting ready to do the lesson that we're doing tonight. And from these experiences on today, some of them were very humbling. Others were very encouraging, and I just wanted to share some things with you today as far as those experiences are concerned. It is a wonderful thing to see how Yah works. What the scripture says, and I'm not going to go there, I'm just going to paraphrase it. What the scripture basically says in a nutshell is that all creation or creation itself is the evidence that Yah exists. And you have people who are bent on proving that Yah does not exist, but their method for proving it is based upon just words that they say from science. And we know every time we hear the word science, it means human knowledge. And so it amazes me how many people have the audacity to say that the Most High Yah does not exist based upon human knowledge. But then that's the fulfillment of Scripture, because through much information, people have attempted to become wise, but in that pursuit of that wisdom, they have become fools. You know, there are people that have gathered so much information to the point of where they're misinformed. They're so informed that they're misinformed. And so you have all these people who are displaying through some form of media their reason for believing or making claims that Yah does not exist. Well, since they're saying Yah does not exist, obviously they are saying that His blessed Son does not exist. And what makes it even drastic is because you have people like this who have a lot of knowledge, science, who have a lot of scientific knowledge, human knowledge, that the masses that they are releasing this information to doesn't have the ability or the knowledge not going to say ability, they don't have the knowledge to even contradict what these type of individuals are saying. And so, so from that perspective, since it's so much knowledge or so much science that these people have the tendency to be swayed to believe what these people are saying based upon science, human knowledge. Well, again, anyone who has any form of true wisdom, not this knowledge or science based upon foolishness, but anyone who takes a serious look at science, knowledge, anyone who is serious about knowledge will come to the conclusion that there is a source that has orchestrated all things. A Big Bang theory or the Big Bang theory that none of this could exist, but yet that none of these things couldn't exist and operate in the harmony by which it is. And so I had written some things in reference to that on yesterday, and I want to read it to you. I said, did you know that everything that Yah created is living substance? We may not have thought about that before, but everything that Yah has to do with is a living substance. You have to understand that if Yah created it, it is life itself. Everything that He has created has life to it. Trees live, grass live, everything has life to it. Because anything that extends from Yah has a certain fashion or nature of Yah, so it has to live. Okay? So, again, did you know that everything that Yah created is a living substance? The heaven, we see up in the heavens, the atmosphere, the heaven, the sky, as we see it, is a living substance. Yah created it. The heaven, the earth, the waters, the days, the night, the grass, the herbs, the herbs, Genesis 1 and 29 even show from the perspective of herbs, because I mentioned some things concerning marijuana. Marijuana is an herb, so therefore it is edible. You know, society smokes it, but it's actually edible. And the nutrients come from it being edible. Well, if you take it in other means, some people smoke it. You know, there are some things that happen as a result of that, but when you look at it in its purest form, it is for food, and it has nutrition that our bodies may need for one reason or another from a nutritional point of view. And so I pointed out that the herb being the marijuana and things like that. So in Genesis 21 is proof that it's for food. Genesis 1 and 29 is proof that it's for food. The fruits, the sun, the moon, the stars, the moving creatures of the waters, the fowls that fly, the living creatures on land and mankind. Now, the wonderful thing about Yah's creation is that all of them are self-sustaining. And so when you look at man that says all of this comes from a Big Bang, so to speak, that, you know, Big Bang theory, that everything just came from nothing, and, you know, these big explosions, all these things and atoms or whatever you want to call it all come together, you get all this stuff that just operated within the harmony that it is, and everything is self-sustaining. Well, there's only a higher source, the Most High Yah, that's able to do something like that. My daughter teased me one time. She's like, it wasn't a tease, I'm just saying it from a perspective of, she said to me, I consider it a tease. She said, Daddy, she's like, okay, Yah has created all these things. She's like, okay, so where did Yah come from? And I was like, baby, you are asking a question, expecting your daddy to answer in reference to someone who has created all things. All things come from Him. That is not a question that I am capable of even coming to a close fathom of answering. He's the source of all things. That's just one of those type of questions you don't even want to try try to figure out, nor can it be figured out. Some you just have to accept that Yah is the source of all things. And he is the method by which all things exist. He doesn't exist from anything because he's the self-existent one. He exists all by himself. So everything comes from him. He don't come from anything. That's as close as I can get to it. You know, that's how awesome of a Yah we serve. Okay. Now, I went on to say, now the wonderful thing about Yah's creation is that all of them, all of his creation is self-sustaining, and they sustain one another. Anything that Yah created, it is self-sustaining, it can sustain within itself, and it will also sustain one another. So if whatever Yah created does not sustain something else, then Yah is not the author of it. Okay. Then I ended with words for the day. If it's not living, then it's a killer of life. If it's not living, it's a killer of life. So everything that mankind has created, it does not benefit life. In reality, it destroys it. Even the life that we're sitting up under tonight, Yah didn't create it. Man did it. And so it's something about this particular life that is not sustaining of itself, therefore it cannot sustain us from a perspective of benefit. Okay? We need them, but they're not a benefit. It's not a benefit. We can use certain things. We use gas to put in cars, but it's not a benefit when it comes down to the nature by which Yah created things. Okay? And so that lets us know that when his kingdom is set up, all these things that are not self-sustaining and doesn't sustain us, it won't be. Now, I said that to say this. We don't have to get into an argument about the existence of the Most High Yah. And the reason why is because Yah is outstanding at proving himself to be in existence. He don't need us to prove him. He can prove himself. Then he said from a perspective of nature, he says, unless y'all, the scripture says, if you look at nature, it is a testimony that Yah exists. That's just me paraphrasing in my own words instead of going there and looking at the scripture. Our creation itself is a testament that the Most High Yah exists. Okay? And so when a person writes things about him not existing, It points out or is evident that they are not in touch with life itself. Because if you look around at anything, you'll see that there is a source that sustains all things. Okay. Now, from that perspective, I ended up being in a meeting today with some pastors and business people. And so when I came in, they asked me to introduce myself, and I did. And so they asked me some things about myself, and I told them some things. They asked about, you know, our projects, and I told them about our projects. And then one of the individuals said this. They was like, man, you are, I'm trying to remember how they put it. They was like, man, you are really blessed. But it was from a perspective that goes against my understanding. It's the way I used to think, but not now. So they were basically saying in a nutshell, and coming across from this perspective, that you must be doing a lot of good things for Yah to do all these wonderful things for you. And it's like, man, you must be really doing a lot of good things for Yah to do this. And my immediate response was no. In reality, I wasn't even looking for God. When I said that, everybody stopped. I said no. I said everything that I am It is based upon the path that he made out for me to walk in.
Hello?
I think we just got cut off.
Okay. Let's
okay, is that okay? All right. I think we lost.
Yeah,
the people texted.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah. store. Back in. As far as the, thank you. As far as the meeting was concerned, the perspective of people were like, okay, the reason, or the impression they gave me was the reason that all these wonderful things are happening in your life is based upon my efforts in pleasing Yah to cause him to pour out all of these blessings upon us as a ministry. And I was like, no, I said, in reality, I wasn't even looking for Yah. I said, you know, I wasn't looking to preach. There was nothing that I personally was doing to put myself in the position that I am now. There's not anything special that I have done to cause me to say, look at all of this. And so I had to start them out by saying it from their perspective. When I did it, it just kind of fit everyone back, and it was like, what do you mean? It was like, no, you have to understand that when we be obedient, then God blesses us based upon our obedience. I said, my perspective is I'm blessed to do. I don't do to be blessed. So there's not anything that I can say that I did that would cause me to be in the position that I am now. I was ordained to be on a path, and I obey Yah from a perspective of just giving him my life. From giving him my life, then he allowed me through releasing his wisdom to understand the path that I should be on. So I didn't pay no price for no anointing. I didn't study for this anointing. I didn't do all these things that preachers normally say that they did in order to get in certain positions, to be able to have things or to do things that they're doing. I said, y'all laid my life out for me, and I just lined up with him. So I don't do things to be blessed. I'm blessed to do things. That's my perspective. It's just different. So I don't give money to be blessed. I'm blessed to give money. I don't do things so that y'all can bless me. Y'all blesses me, and then I go out and do. He didn't tell Abraham. He said, go, and I'll show you. Abraham didn't. What? And so I'm going to back up and say this, and a lot of people don't realize this. Abraham was a Gentile. When Yah counted him as righteous, he was uncircumcised. Because based upon the covenant that was established with him, the circumcision was the process by which Yah identified Abraham as having a covenant with him. I said, so Abraham was a Gentile, and Yah accounted him or credited him for righteousness. He's a Gentile. Now, when you go look at the scripture, when you look at the scripture in Genesis chapter 10, the sons of Japheth, the sons of Ham, and the sons of Shem were all Gentiles. We didn't become the nation of Israel until it descended down through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. and through our father Abraham. Abraham was a Gentile who was uncircumcised when Yah called him a righteous man. So now, with that understanding, Abraham didn't do anything to get in the position that he was in. Yah laid his path out for him and told him, get away from your kinfolk. Get to a country that I'll show you and I'll bless you there. Yah was the source of everything. Okay? All Abraham was credited for is that he just believed what Yah said. And Yah credited him or accounted to him for righteousness. Now, we know to a certain perspective there are things that we have to do. We understand that, but at the same time, we ought to understand that Yah has always been this faithful God who desires to give each one of us the ability to carry out a task, before we carry out the task. So I was telling them, I said, so everything that I am, it is because Yah gives all of the credit for who I am. Any understanding I have in the scripture, it's not because I study, because, you know, Alan has told me some of the time, Elder told me some of the time, I just kind of get on my nerves, you know. He don't just say that, not really, y'all. But he's told me so many times, no, you can't study up on some of the stuff. You be talking about skating. People don't, that's true. So it's not that my studying has put me in a position to understand certain things. There are other things that's going on that have put me in position to know these things. I didn't study. I wasn't praying. I wasn't laying out before God to get this information. Half the time, I didn't even pick up the Bible to know what was going on before I came in here, just like right now. So all of it belongs to Yah. I'm just a benefactor of all the wonderful things that Yah want to do in the earth. He just chose this nut to carry it out, who don't get the credit for nothing, just blessed and dumbfounded to have the opportunity to be used. Now, with that understanding, there are things that I do that lead me to the next facet of what he wants me to do. And so it does take obedience from that perspective, but my path is totally laid out. Okay? You know, there are things that I do from an obedient perspective that opens up doors, but the doors are already there. Just not going to open until I do what he's already laid out. Did you hear that? It's not that doors are created as I be obedient. Doors open as I be obedient, because he's saying they already laid out. Your path is already laid out, Lord. If you just follow your path, everything will be fine. But most people think they always got to make their way. They always say that I got to make my way possible. I got to do all these things. So I got to give my money to be blessed, because that's what they say. When you bring your tithe to the storehouse and you give your money, then you're blessed. Well, he says he gives seed to the sower. If I love giving, then he's going to always fix it where I can be there. Then we look at it from the big picture, is what he made me in the first place. So that's my perspective. So when I started coming at them with those perspectives, it was like, well, I never looked at it that way, but we can't disagree because we're seeing the things that's going on in your life. I'm like, well, I'm just being honest with y'all. I wasn't even looking for y'all. I wasn't even looking for God. I was just trying to sit in a pew and just be alone. You know, I wasn't trying to preach. I didn't even know, you know, when you asked me, go to the book of Job, I said, I found Job. I don't see no Job. I didn't know Job and Job was spelled the same way. I just said, I found Job in here. I don't see no Job, though. I found Job. That's how much scripture I understood. But yet, through all of that, Yah is the source. He is God Almighty by himself. And as a child, I just counted a privilege to have the opportunity to walk the path by which he has foreordained for me to walk in. Now, that says the same about you, too. Okay? So as we continue on with this meeting, afterwards, there was a pastor I've been knowing for a long time, a lot of years, 20-some years, probably between 25 and 30 years, I guess. And so, you know, I took him to dinner. Y'all led me to take him to dinner. So I took him to dinner. Well, we get there, and I got the video of this person that I'm going to talk about. We get there, and so we're eating, and we're talking, we're sharing a lot of things. And finally, this guy that's sitting across from us, he just starts to sing. You know, he's singing, and it's this family. It was, I think, three women and a young teenage boy. So he's leaning over the little rail-like area, you know, that's in that cabin tree. So he's leaning over there, and he started saying stuff to them, and he's kind of loud. So, you know, it's catching everybody's attention, but we're not really paying attention to what he said. Then finally, I started looking at him, and so he was singing. So he comes to singing to these people, and I mean, they just crying. Boy, I'm like, what? And so he called my attention, so I'm sitting there watching it. So he'll sing, and you know how I am, y'all. You know, I don't ever meet a stranger. And if something kind of a little bit on the crazy side, then I call it fun. You know, most people say it's crazy, but I look at it and say, okay, it's fun. It's fun. So I looked at him, sing another. I said, sing Michael Jackson. He started singing Michael Jackson. And I said, sing Prince. He started singing Prince. So I'm just giving him different songs, and everybody laughing, and he's singing. And I mean, this dude is so funny. You know, we kind of left him alone, but he wasn't finished. He wasn't finished, and he said, I got another one. So when he said, I got another one, we all look at him again, he started singing again. And he kept saying, I got another one. He went on about 15, 20 minutes like that, singing different songs, making up songs and all that. So we laughed. I mean, in this past, we just laughed until we cried. This guy's just having all the fun. I mean, he's just free-spirited. He's laughing. We're all laughing. And then finally, the pastor asked him, he just said, man, it's a song. Matter of fact, he named me what the name of the song that he had. And I wish I could pull up the video and show it to you. I got it on my phone. But he called me this song he made up. He called it South Dallas something. But he called me that. And he's singing these songs. This pastor said, "Say, man," he said. He said, "Are you from South Dallas?" Because he kept making this song about South Dallas. He said, "Are you from South Dallas?" The guy was like, No, I'm not from South Dallas. And then he kind of looked at us and smiled. He said, "Man, I'm homeless." He said, "I'm homeless." When he said that, it shocked everybody in the place, in the restaurant. Here, we're looking at a guy. And by the way, I was homeless, family and I, for 3.5 years. So I can relate to how this guy was, how this guy felt, and I can relate to his mindset because it was the same mindset that I had. I used to preach that y'all will bless you and y'all will meet all of your needs when I was growing up. My family and I sleeping in the classroom in church, have nowhere to go. I would preach the goodness of y'all and how, you know, faith, you stand in faith no matter what, and didn't have nothing but an old van that had been hit in the back by a trash truck. So I can relate to this guy, okay? And matter of fact, the bucket, so we used to have to take baths every day in a laundry basket. I still have those laundry baskets to this day because it keeps me in the right perspective to know that you remember the days when you used to take baths in those baskets? You bought them not for clothing, but you bought them to take a bath in, and you took a bath in it for almost 3 years. Put hot water in that laundry basket and stand up in the basket and take a bath every day. And so I'm listening to this guy. And he said, "Man," he said, "no, I'm homeless." And it shocked everybody in the restaurant because here they were looking at a guy who was bringing joy to everybody. And he was in a worse circumstance than everybody in the place. Everybody had a place to go home to. Here, his home was out there on the street. And he brought joy to everybody in the place. everybody in the place. He was laughing, and he was singing, and he kept looking at me, because you know me, I'm going to boost him up. So I had him going. He kept looking at me, say, man, check this out. I got another one. He started rapping for a minute. Next minute, he was singing like Michael Jackson. Next minute, he sang like Prince. He was just singing like everybody. And when it was all said and done, it was a guy who was bringing joy to everybody, and he was in the worst-case scenario than everybody. And the lesson this lesson tonight is in reference to that brother. And so as I'm sitting there, he never asked anybody for a dime. Never asked anybody for anything. His main mission was just to bring joy with what he had. And all he had was his ability to make people smile and laugh by his singing. Didn't ask for a dime, didn't tell nobody he was homeless, or nothing, until we start asking him where he lived, and that's when he told us that he was homeless. With that in mind, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, says this. Now, Peter, an apostle of Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. What is it? Again?
Okay.
Well, everybody, I think everybody's gone. Let me make sure. There he is. Okay. So, we're getting back in. Y'all just bear with us a minute. Okay. Now, as we deal with this 1 Peter chapter 1, you know that's what I love about being free with y'all. I don't care about all this being on the video or audio. I don't care. You know, my main goal is that people get to understand. Okay. And we have issues sometimes, we just have to deal with it. Okay? Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, let's see, it's all being called without it.
You told
me to
call back
in. Okay.
Call in.
First Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Yehoshua Mashiach, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and that she's saying. Okay, now, you're back, Mama Cole, so we're going to get it all straight. Okay, for 1 Peter chapter 1, and it'll be up a little bit later on, and so you can go listen to the parts that you missed. So everybody, will give you a link to the website afterwards, and you'll be able to go listen to any part that I believe you missed. It all should be on there, right? Okay. All of what happened and everything. So you can hear it back. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, to the strangers. Now, when you see the word strangers in this passage, there is an understanding that has to be in place in order to deal with this. And I think, I know, there are a lot of people who don't have this understanding that I'm about to reveal. Anytime you see strangers or I'll change that. Most of the time when you see strangers, you will think that it means Gentile. Okay? But there are certain times when you read the word stranger and it does not mean Gentile. It means Jew or the nation of Israel. And so you have to be within the contextual meaning and also know what's going on to be able to know who is being talked to here. So I'm going to say it, and there are things that I'm going to come up to in Sabbath worship to confirm things that I'm talking about in training school, but I'm not dealing with in detail, because there's some things I deal with in detail in Sabbath worship that I don't deal with in detail in training school, because we're coming behind some things that I'm dealing with in training school, but coming behind these things in our Sabbath worship service. So I say this ahead of time, and then we'll see it in detail in the weeks to come as we deal with this same thing in Sabbath worship. Now, Peter, you have to understand the thing about Peter. Peter is an apostle to the nation of Israel. Okay? You have to understand that. Are we good? Okay. Oh, you need this? Okay. Yeah. Peter, you have to realize, when you read Peter's writings, Peter is an apostle to the nation of Israel. Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles. So when you read Peter's writings, Peter is talking to Israel. Okay? There may be Gentiles in the midst, but Peter's apostleship is to the nation of Israel. Paul's apostleship is to the Gentiles. That's why you can't read what Paul is saying and think that he's meaning Israel in a lot of passages. There are some things that include Israel, but you have to understand that Paul is dealing with Gentiles. He is an apostle to the Gentiles, ordained by Yah. So when you read his writings, you have to be able to distinguish between the two. When you read Peter's writings, you have to be able to distinguish between the two. When you read the other apostles' writings, you have to be able to distinguish between the two. So when you get in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're dealing with the nation of Israel. You get over in the Paul's writing, Paul is talking to the Gentiles, but he's dealing with the nation of Israel in some portions of his wording. So you got to remember that. So since Peter, the Bible says Peter is an apostle to the Gentiles, then we know that these strangers are the nation of Israel. The reason why they're called strangers is because our nation is scattered abroad, but not abroad from the perspective of being all over the world. We're still in the same region of Jerusalem. We're in that same region area, so to speak. That's why you look at these names. Some of these cities that Peter is talking to, being scattered, are the same, some of the same cities as Acts chapter 2, when the Jews came to Jerusalem. Pontus, Cappadocia, Asia, these places are the same places as in Acts chapter 2. So Peter is talking to Gentiles. So he tells our nation, who is scattered throughout Pontus, he's saying to them, Peter, an apostle of Yehoshua Mashiach, to the strangers, to Israel, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect. So that's not talking to the church, because when they see the word elect, you get Christian folk or the church man. See, I told you we are elect because the Bible says in Peter that we are the elect. So the church is the elect. No, he's talking to We have to stay within the contextual meaning, and we have to understand who Peter has been sent to. Peter is sent to the disciples. You don't hear Paul talking about the Gentiles from that perspective, unless you're seeing him deal with some things from a perspective where you're looking at that Gentile and Jew being included. So as we deal with this from a perspective of the elect, the nation of Israel is the elect. Peter understands this. The nation of Israel understands this. So when Peter writes to the brethren, the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, he knows that they are the elect because he's talking to Israel. The nation of Israel is the elect. The church is not the elect. The nation of Israel is the elect. Okay? Elect according to the foreknowledge of Yah the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yehoshua Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the Yah and blessed be the Yah and Father of our Lord Yehoshua Mashiach, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection. Look at it, it says begotten us again. Because we were the nation of Israel who were the children of the Most High, and because we disobeyed, he said, that's what you get on the Romans chapter 11, he says we have been grafted back in. That's what Peter, Paul is saying, talking in reference to the nation of Israel. That the original branch had been grafted back in. Peter now is within the same vein of that. That's why he said we have been begotten again. We have access back to the Father through the Son as the nation of Israel. Okay? Begotten again unto a lively hope, verse 3, by the resurrection of Yehoshua Mashiach from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, which are kept by the power of Yah through faith, unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So our salvation now as the nation of Israel is not according to the law, it's according to faith. That's why the scripture says, that's why Paul said, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. We all have sinned, we are all made righteous in Christ, because it is now the blood of Christ through his redemptive work, dying for our sins, that have made all mankind in right standing with Yah. Okay? So we are all kept by that power of Yah through faith. It is our faith. Okay? Total dependence upon Yah. Now, verse 6, here's the verse now. Remember the brother that I was telling you about who was singing through all of us. Verse 6, this is our lesson. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Now, I like the word if need be. I like to say it sometimes. Sometimes there are things that are necessary. The pastor that I was with, he shared some things with me from a personal perspective and had talked about here recently that he was homeless. He said a lot of things happened to him. He ended up being in a homeless shelter for a period of time. And he said, man, he said, I've really gone through a hard time. But he reminded me of what I said to him when I preached my first lesson. He heard me preach my first lesson. We was members of the same church. But he told me something I had forgotten. He said, man, do you remember when you preached your first message? He said, you stopped in the middle of your sermon and you told me that I was going to go through like Job. I was like, man, I have forgot all about that. He said, when you first told me that, you thought, I was like, man, I wonder why Lord want to say that to me. He said, but man, I have gone through just like Job, man. I lost everything. I lost wife. I lost house. I lost all my cars. James was, he was the type of individual who had a lot of things. This man has had millions come across his ministry. Millions. Well, you know, y'all must want to come out, but he spit it out there. And he was justified. I mean, I share with people what I've gone through because I want to encourage people. So I like to put myself out there and tell my story to bless somebody else. Matter of fact, when I told him that I had been homeless before, some tears came in some people's eyes, and they was like, man, what a testimony from God to see where you've gone through and where you are now. He gets all the glory. This guy has had millions to come through his ministry. He said, man, I lost everything. I lost wife. I lost all the money. I lost the place to stay. He said, man, I had to live in a homeless shelter. And if you had an opportunity to know the life of this guy, it would have blown your mind to know that that's where he ended up. He said, I tell you what, he said, but he said, I used to be kind of arrogant, he said, but it brought me, it brought me to humility. I said, bro, I said, I've been there. I said, because, you know, I teach him at first. I said, well, I said, it brought me to humility. I said, now I operate in the arrogance. You know, I said, I'm new now, you know, kind of just teasing. I said, but on the serious side, I said, no, bro, I said, when I had to go through, you know, losing a home, being homeless and all these different things, I said, that was my journey by which God needed to deal with me, my character, to get me where he wanted me to be now. I couldn't be this man of God with the mindset that I had back then. He had to get some stuff out of me, you know, because I was even to the point, I said, God, if I lose my eyes, I'm not preaching no more. He said, oh, really? We're going to see. That's all he said. We're going to see. Oh, crap. I kind of turned out there and said what I was going to do. And he said, we're going to see. So I know what's going to happen. Well, lost that house is still here. You know, lost the house in 1998. What is it, 20 years later? I'm still doing what he said I was going to do. Almost 20 years later. So, you know, this guy went through all of this here. But at the same time, when you look at what was going on with this guy at this restaurant, it taught both of us a lesson. And what I mean by taught both of us a lesson, it reminded me of my story. But at the same time, it bear witness and taught him a lesson too, because I realized that he shared things with me that he was still in a struggle. He was still in a struggle, but at the same time, he looked at this guy because he knew he was in a better situation than this guy. He knew he wasn't living out on the street. Things were hard for him, but he knew he wasn't living out on the street. And so he looked at this guy's circumstance, who was living out on the street, and he bringing joy to everybody. But yet, everybody had the appearance of being in a better situation than he was in. Yet, he brought joy to all of us. Had all of us in our laughs until we were crying. I was just laughing. And when he finally told me what was going on, y'all just blessed me because I don't keep cash in my pocket. I just happened to receive some cash from someone else, and I turned around and just gave the guy the cash. He wasn't asking for nothing. He was just busy about bringing joy to everybody based upon the talent he had, what was seen. Didn't matter if it was good or not, he brought joy to people's lives from his things. So nobody was concerned about how well he sung. Everybody was just enjoying the fact that he was doing it and the joy that he had on his face and making all of us feel good from doing it. Back to verse 6 again of 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. You have to understand that whatever you're dealing with is only for a season. Now, we look at the word season, and we'll start just dealing with some definitions here. Verse 6. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now, when you look at the word greatly rejoice, it says be glad. Be glad, rejoice, have joy, jump for joy. That's what this guy reminded me of. He had such a joy on his face. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. So now for a season, when you look at the word season, it just means a while, a short period of time, brief. Let us know that there are times when all of us may go through something for a while. We may deal with some things for a season. But Yah said, whatever we're dealing with for a season, we have to learn how to still be glad. Don't allow circumstances to take our gladness, our joy away, because we understand as the children of Yah, we're talking from the perspective of the nation of Israel in this passage. He said, you're scattered abroad. You're not in your own land. You're in other cities. He said, and that's just for a season. He said, but you still greatly rejoice because some things happen that are necessary. Now, let's deal with the word need be. If need be, well, there are different things, but I want to deal with the word need. He said it ought to be. If this needs to take place, all of us need to realize, and that's why I come with the cliche that I like to say, whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit. Because I understand that y'all would allow things to take place. Our nation in 1 Peter chapter 1 was scattered abroad, but it was necessary. There are things that take place in our life for a specific season, but we got to learn how to be joyous knowing that there's a result that's going to come from. So everything that happens to me in life is always for my benefit. Whatever happened to me, I look at it from a perspective of it's necessary. But it's necessary because Yah is bringing something out of me that he put in me to make me what he has called me to be. And if I had not gone through that situation, it would not have put me in position to be on the path that I am on now. He just would have had to do some other need beings in my life, but he's going to get me to where I am. And so every path that we on, we have to understand that Yah has us there for a season, and everything's going to be all right. So, he said in verse 6, he said, though now for a season, if need be. I like the word if need be. He said, you are inheriting through manifold temptations. I like to say that a lot of stuff going on, and it ain't good from our perspective. It don't feel good. It's some tough situations. It's some things that's going on. But you have to understand that Yah said, I pick seasons. There are seasons, bro, whereby things are going on, but you've got to learn how to keep your focus on me and all the stuff that's going on, because you have to realize that if I'm allowing you to go through it, then it's necessary for me to bring something out of you that I put in. If need be, you are inheriting it. You are inheriting it. Let's deal with the word inheriting. You are inheriting it. Inheriting it in sorrow, grief, distress, through manifold. Manifold just means, I believe, many. Various characters, diverse, many. Temptations. Now, when you look at temptation, it means adversity. I don't care how much we love y'all, we're going to have adversity. My situation may be different from yours. Yours may be different from mine. But bottom line, there are seasons where all of us have to go through some adversity. Sometimes these things become necessary because it's developing something in us. It's developing something in us that God has already put there. And sometimes these seasons come by where we have to realize that God has allowed us to go through it. And even though we're going through it, we cannot let our joy be taken away. Man, be just like that brother. Been to walk out the restaurant. Probably had to get the money for somebody else to come in there to eat, or maybe have been allowed to eat there by the restaurant, and because of his joy, he left out of there. He's in this season whereby he's going through that. But I tell you what, one of the things that people were saying to him, said, I tell you what, with that attitude that you got, you're not going to stay in your position of being out here on the street alone. Y'all is not going to keep an individual like you out on the street when you're out there bringing that kind of joy into the lives of people just because that's just your talent to do. Y'all is going to always provide for him. Because regardless of what's going on with him, he's still always smiling, and he's still always singing, and he's still always putting himself in position to make somebody happy. He could have been sitting in that restaurant eating his food, pouting and looking all crazy and acting all crazy because of his circumstance, but in his circumstance, in his worst circumstance probably in his life, he's bringing joy to everybody. So I sit there and watch him do it, and it reminded me of myself. No matter what situation you're in, long, you always got to be put in the position or in the position where you can extend out of what Yah has put in you to be a blessing to somebody. That can always extend out to somebody else's life. I don't care what situation I am in. My responsibility is to always bring in that's what I'm born to do. I'm born to bring understanding of the scripture. So no matter what situation I'm in, I don't care how bad it is, I don't care what season I'm in, I'm always going to be willing to tell the truth according to the written. That's my gift. And I'm going to always be in a position of joy to display that gift. I am never going to be too depressed to tell somebody about y'all. I would never be in a position where I don't care about sharing what he's given me to get to. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Why? Why does Yah say you need to be okay with it? Why does Yah say we need to be okay with it? Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, he just testing each one of us. Yah said, whatever each one of you is dealing with, if it's a test, if it's a temptation, if it's adversity, if it's causing you to be stressed out a little bit, he said, whatever you're dealing with, I put it there in your life for a season to make sure that your faith is being tested so that you can become what I called you to become. So where is your adversity tonight? What situation is in your life tonight that you consider stressful or an adversity or a bad circumstance or a bad situation? What is it that going on in your life that got you saying, oh, man? Y'all say it's there for a season. And the reason why it's there is because it's necessary. And the reason why it's necessary is because I'm testing your faith to get something out of you that I put in. So you need to change your perspective on what you're going through. You got to learn how to go through your circumstance with joy. You got to learn how to be glad. You got to let your light so shine. Preacher been teaching us about the luminousness that we are called to be a luminousness for Christ. Not only when the sun is out and the weather is nice and the flowers are growing, when it's snow on the ground and when we're hungry and when we don't have anything to eat, when we're destitute, when we're homeless, when whatever's going on in our life, we still got to be glad and let our light shine because Yah said this is a seasonal thing that is necessary, but it's designed to get you somewhere in your faith walk with the Most High. Be glad about it. Be glad that he loves you enough to deal with you. When the Lord loveth, he chastens, he corrects. I like to say he spanks. He may whoop us a little bit. He may allow us to go through circumstances for whatever reason or another. Whatever you're dealing with, you have to understand that Yah said, I'm trying your faith in that area. I'm putting you in a position where you put your trust in me instead of having your trust in man or having your trust in your own ability instead of having your trust in your money or in your circumstance. He said, I'm allowing these things to happen because I'm testing your faith. Your faith is on trial. Be glad about it. That means he's paying you some attention. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Though it be tried with fire, Yah said, if you got faith, I'm going to test it. You think you're going to belong to me? He said, compare gold to fire. He said, in order to get gold in its pure state, you have to put gold through fire. Gold through fire gets all the impurities out of it. And when all the impurities out of the gold that goes through the fire, it becomes pure gold. Yah said, when I allow you to go through these trials and these circumstances, when I test your faith, he said, I'm doing so because when it's all said and done, I don't want no junk in your faith. I just want you only in belief mode. I just want you only in trust mode. So I put circumstance in your life to make you uncomfortable. I put you in situations that you can't get out of on your own. I put you in unhappy situations because I want you to trust me to bring you through and to deliver you and to get you where I want you to be. But I put you through those things so that you can trust me. I'm going to test you. And I'm going to keep testing you until there is no junk in your faith walk. I'm going to test you to the point to where you quit believing me one day and then not believing me the next day. Then you believe me one day, then I'm not going to believe you the next day. James 1 said that's a double-minded man. So that person is unstable in all their ways. Yes, Lord. So verse 7 says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. Gold is precious. But Yahweh, your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Yehoshua Mashiach. Whom, verse 8, having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, Yah said, if you stand on faith, you will see the result. Isn't it amazing how people talk about how they walk in faith, but yet their faith never ends anything? I don't know about you, but I get tired of walking by faith for everything. I want to see some end results. Well, I'm just believing God for this. 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 Dog, do you ever end in that area of believing God for something? Because the scripture says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Well, we know that's the ultimate thing from a perspective of the salvation of our soul, mental disposition, mind, also the, you know, the spirit, the soul, the whole salvation perspective of salvation. But at the same time, you can apply that to other areas of your life. There are things that you trust Yah for that Yah said there are seasons when you got to trust me, but then there comes a season when it should end. You got to get some results. How long are you going to trust Yah in that area? When are you going to allow Yah to end it in that area? Faith should end somewhere in certain circumstances. Can you imagine how messed up I would be if I would have been trusting Yah to bless me to not be homeless anymore, and here I would have still been homeless, but yet, because I've trusted Yah and have seen him bring me out of that position, my faith has ended. I don't have to trust Yah for no place to stay anymore. He's already provided. So my faith is ended in that area. Although that's still responsibility that I have because I have a place to stay, but yet my faith is ended in that area because I put myself in a position to be glad, although I was going through those things for a season and allowed Yah through my faith in him, I was the point to salvation, but at the same time, through my faith in him, to cause me to have to end my faith in that area. There was a time when I was having faith for a building. I no longer have faith for a building anymore. It's ended. We have buildings. We have buildings plural. So I'm not going around talking about faith for a building. We have buildings plural. They're finished. I don't need faith for a building anymore. It has ended. So y'all saying to each one of you that one of the keys to your faith ending in a specific area is that we got to learn how to come through that circumstance being glad and joyous and don't allow that circumstance to change us. Why do you think I always say we don't allow environments to change us? We go in as the light and change that environment. How can we bring joy to a place and that place not change? That's what that guy did. He came into that cafeteria with joy and turned the whole place joyous. Nobody was laughing until he got to spread his joy. He changed the atmosphere. I don't know, he may have been an angel. I don't know. So verse 7. 8, 9, and then I'm going to close. You don't have any more questions. He said that the trial of your faith, the word trial is just test. Let me look at some other words. Test, the trying. Yah tries us. He tests us. You have to understand, Yah is going to always test you. He's going to test you. Now, when you look at the word test, it doesn't mean to tempt, to sin. Yah don't ever tempt us to sin. He tests us to make us grow in him. He tests our faith. Our faith too. Verse 7, he says that the trial of your faith, the testing of your faith, he says, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes. Gold perishes, though it be tried with fire. You try with fire, and you get it purified, but it's still will perish. He said, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Yehoshua Mashiach, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believe it. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I rejoice in all my circumstances, because I know Christ has made it possible for me to be who I am. Through me accepting him and his redemptive work, through him saving my life from corruption, through me believing in him as Lord and Christ of my life, I can have joy in the circumstance. Because I know, because I belong to the Most High Yah, whatever I'm going through, it's only for a little while. And the reason why I'm going through it is because I am being tested to be something greater. There was a nugget there. Whatever you're dealing with, Yah is allowing you to go through it to test you so that you can trust him by faith to become something greater than what you currently are. Verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believe it. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. That's the ultimate end of faith, is when we now stand in the midst of our Savior, knowing that he has redeemed us as a nation and gathered us back into our land. That is the salvation of the Israelites. We're talking to the Israelites in 1 Peter chapter 1. That's the salvation of our soul. The end of our faith is being gathered back into our land as a nation. That's the salvation for us. That's the salvation of our souls. Okay? But at the same time, each one of us from an individual perspective should be looking forward to the end of our faith, the manifestation. Let's look at the word end. In verse 9, as we get ready to close, receiving the end, it says found, uttermost, the point aimed at as a limit. Receiving the limit, the end, it means exactly what it's saying. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Anytime we walk by faith in an area, we should still end. And there are some people that's constantly walking and walking and walking, and they're never seeing any results from it. And it stems all the way back up to what's going on in their lives. Verse 6. They don't rejoice in nothing. They complain about everything. They pout about everything. It's like, y'all is like, man, I'm just testing you, man. Know that I got you. Know everything's going to be okay. Trust me. Step out there. Trust me. Step in your destiny. All right, that's all I have. Any questions or comments? Good? Okay. I pray, Father, I would just bless you on today, and we thank you for just another word. We even pray for the brother that just blessed us with his strong tonight. Yeah, just meet his need according to your will in every way. We just lift him up before you and just open up every door that's necessary for him to first of all see and understand you and to know that that he belongs to you and that you have a path to him. And we just pray for one another as we deal with all the circumstances that we're going through, that we keep our focus and we stay joyous despite of the affliction, to know that you're just allowing us to be tested to bring us to an end result. And we praise you in the name of Yehoshua Mashiach, we do praise. Amen.